We're going? Okay, we're good. Here we go. Turn to Romans chapter 6. What we're going to look at today is walking in newness of life. And this kind of follows up from the teaching last week. Janet, do you need something? Go ahead, get whatever you need. I'll talk about what I taught last week a little bit. I taught last week on you are a new creation. And it certainly, that's what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. And I did a humble analogy on driving a new car. And you know, we have a great attitude when we drive a new car. And they're great, they're shiny, they're new, they're perfect, they're beautiful. But they grow old. However, our new creation, being a new creation in Christ, that never grows old. The new birth never grows old. The new birth spirit never gets old. It's eternal. And we should have a new birth attitude, a new creation attitude, just like we have a new car attitude when we get a new car. You know, you feel better about it. You sit up straighter in the driver's seat. You like to show it off, you know, and you get a little strut as you drive that new car, you know. It's the new car strut. Well, we need a new creation strut. You know, that's the way you need to think. So, one of the verses we looked at was in chapter 6, and we're going to start in chapter 6, verse 1 of Romans. And we're going to look at what it means to be born again of God's Spirit. We are new creations. And we are new creations in Christ Jesus. And there's some very significant things here. And to have that new creation attitude, you have to understand what Jesus Christ did for you, what he accomplished. And you have to believe it. You know, lots of people can rattle off stuff. A lot of people can regurgitate information or verses or all kinds of stuff, but that does not mean that they believe it. Right? Okay. What shall we say then? Verse 1 of chapter 6. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? You know, grace abounds in our life regardless, doesn't it? Because this is the age of grace. However, we're not to sin on purpose because there's grace. You know, we're not to say, well, I can do whatever I want because there's grace and there's no consequence to pay. There may or may not be a consequence, depending on what you're doing and how you're doing it and so many other things. But that's not the point. Just because there's grace doesn't mean we go look for things to do that are contrary to God's word or to feed our lusts or whatever. The first week, second week, I was in the Wake Corps in 1976. First time I saw Dr. Werwell in the Wake Corps, he told us something. He said, if you want to be a spiritual person, there's three things that you have to learn to control. You have to learn to control your mouth. You have to learn to control your appetite. And you have to learn to control your lusts. Three things. So, verse 2, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now, you know what? We don't feel like we're dead, do we? No, you're alive. So this is not literally true, and yet it is, right? Because it talks about other things, and, you know, it says in chapter 5, verse 21, the last verse, it says that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. When we gain eternal life, we become dead to sin. So it says, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Once you get born again, you should strive to live a different style of life, a different way of life. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now, what does it mean to be buried with him by baptism unto death? Baptism means to cleanse. It means to take a bath, basically. Okay? And in the Old Testament, in the temple, they had places that they were to wash to ceremoniously cleanse themselves so that they could partake of the holy worship of God and to offer sacrifices and to pray and to do all that stuff. You see, it was an outward cleansing, but it represented something else, that they were trying to cleanse themselves of their sins and to worship God and acknowledge Him as the Creator. When you die, you are cleansed of all sin, because when you're dead, you can't sin. It's pretty tough anyway. Can't sin when you're dead, can you? So when Jesus Christ died, when He died, we all were considered dead with Him. Anyone that was born again was considered dead with Christ. You were considered dead. You died with Him. He died, and we died for sin. Now, we didn't really die, did we? Because He died for us. But that's how we understand the identity. If you don't believe that, it doesn't do you any good, does it? You could read it 100 times, but you have to ask God to teach you and show you and open the eyes of your understanding so that you can understand it and you believe it. You put it into your heart. And then it says, therefore we are buried with Him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead, like as is what? A comparison, isn't it? As Christ, just like Christ was raised from the dead, by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. When Jesus Christ rose from the dead, He walked around, didn't He? He had a new body. He walked in what? Newness of life. Newness of life. The word newness there does not mean new in time. It means new in quality. New in quality. Now, sometimes we get something new and it's new in time and quality, don't we? But, you know, everything that we get is made of something. So is it really new in time? You know, I mean, you buy a new car and it's made of steel. Well, how old is that steel? As old as the world, because it's made from iron. Iron comes from the ground. So it goes back to the creation. But it's new in quality, isn't it? Because it is refined, it's put into a different form, and it's put into a way that it's useful. You see? New in quality. When we get born again, we have a new life, and it's new in quality. We still have the same body, but it's new in quality, and we have the promise of a new body that is to come. What a cool thing. It's a new quality of life that we are to walk in. And the word walk means to what?
To
where you live, the way you conduct your life, the way you live your life. Right? That's what walk means. So we are to walk in a newness of life. That only happens when we decide that we believe what God says He has done for us in Christ Jesus, which means you have to do something with your brain. Okay. Cool. Then it goes on to say in verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of sin, it's kind of an interesting phrase, planted together. Because that original seed that we have, the flesh, is what? It's corruptible, isn't it? Yeah, it was planted in corruption. And we're born with that corruptible seed. When we get born again, we receive what? An incorruptible seed. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. And of course, He was planted, meaning He died, He was put into the ground. And when He was put in the ground, as far as God was concerned, we were put into the ground. We were dead to sin. Sin no longer had any place in our lives. And as He was risen from the dead, so also we were raised from the dead. We are new creations in Christ. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. We should not serve sin. You know what that means? It means you're not to be a slave to sin, because it's the Greek word doulo, however you say it, douloo. It's to be a slave to sin. You're not to be a slave to sin. When you're a slave to something, that something controls your life, doesn't it? It take you're in bondage. You don't have a choice. You do things because you are made to. You don't have freedom to choose. We have a freedom to choose. We don't have to sin. We don't have to be a slave to sin. We have been set free by Christ Jesus. So it says that we are not to be servants of sin anymore. We have been made free by Jesus Christ. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, with Christ. It's crucified. It's done. The old man is done. It's a clunker. That the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Are you dead to sin? Yeah. You're free. You're set free from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. Because he has that eternal life spirit, and he has that eternal life body. We have that eternal life spirit, and in reality, death has no more dominion over us, does it? You know, we may fall asleep, which is temporary, but we will awake. We fall asleep every night. We don't think anything of it, do we? Right? When you go to sleep at night, sometimes you're can't wait to go to sleep, right? If you're having a good time, you want to stay awake and have fun, but and when you're a kid, you don't want to miss anything. Not that you're really missing anything, but you think you are. But we go to bed at night, we want to go to sleep. We want to get rest. We want to sleep, and we welcome it. Well, when we reach the end of our physical life here on earth, if the Lord shall tarry, it says that we are asleep. It's temporary. It's a temporary thing. And when you're asleep, I know this morning I woke up at 6:20 and it was like, wow, it's 6:20 already. It was like the night went so fast and I slept so good. It was like 5 minutes and it was done. Well, when we're asleep, when we die physically, if we do, it's going to be a pretty good sleep. It's going to be pretty solid. So that moment of the return is going to come pretty fast. It's going to be like just happened. The next waking moment will be the return. So where were we? For in that he died, oh, let's see, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death shall have no more dominion, no more dominion over you. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. He lives unto God. He's at God's right hand. He's God's right-hand man. He is second in command. And likewise meaning likewise, we also, likewise, reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through or in Christ Jesus our Lord, it should read. In Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay, now, this is incredibly important. To reckon. What does reckon mean?
Consider.
Consider, right. Consider, to account, to think. You are to consider yourself, reckon yourself, account yourself dead to sin. You're dead to sin. You're not to think in terms of sin or sin nature. You're to think in terms of the Savior from sin, right? It just said above, we are alive unto God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's what we are to reckon ourselves. We are to reckon ourselves dead unto sin, indeed unto sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are free from sin. We are in control. Now, when you know that you know that you know something, right? You're convinced. You're convicted. You're absolutely positive. You're absolutely sure. Right?
Right.
You know that you know that you know that you know. You can't be talked out of certain things in life. And then when you are sure of certain things, and some things are insignificant, some things are very significant, you live in light of that conviction, don't you? Right? I mean, you sit down in a chair, you're convinced that chair is going to hold you. You don't even give it a second thought. You know that you know, you know. Jay, you're getting sure, more and more sure. That's right. Okay. Are you here all Americans?
Yes.
Is there anybody here that's not an American? That's not nice. Are you, right? You're an American. Is there anybody that could talk you out of the fact that you're an American? You're sure, aren't you? What's the proof?
Birth certificate
tells you where you were born. And we know that the Constitution says if your parents were Americans and you're born of them, or you're born in the country of the United States, you are an American citizen. Could anybody talk you out of that?
No.
You have absolute proof. You're sure that you know that you know that you know that you're sure absolutely positively that you're an American. Cool. So then you can walk in the light of that, can't you? Right? So you know that you have all the rights and privileges that are guaranteed to you according to the Constitution. So, you know, one of the things that Americans are really good at is I'm free. I can say whatever I want. I'm allowed to have an opinion. And every American has an opinion about everything in the world. And they're willing to voice it at a moment's notice because we know absolutely, 100 positively, we're sure that we have freedom of speech. It's probably the one thing that Americans know and believe in and like more than anything else. I can say what I believe. Right? I mean, that's just, you're sure of it. Nobody could talk you out of that, could they? It's cool. How many of you own a car? How do you know you own it? You got a title to it or a registration. You're sure, right? You're sure. Can anybody talk you out of it? You get in that car every day because you're sure it's yours. Right? You drive it because you know it's yours. You're not worried about somebody coming up and saying, that's not your car, we're taking it away from you. You have proof, right? It's easy. So we live in light of truth. We live in light of facts. We live in light sometimes of things that aren't true, don't we? Because we get lied to, or we believe things that are not true, or assumptions. Okay? Ideas we walk in light of. But God says we are to walk in newness of life. Is that, do we have assurance of that?
Yes.
Do we have proof of that?
Yes.
Yeah, we do. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. God says that we are to walk in newness of life, that we are dead to sin. And then he says, I have proof for you that you can know that you know that you know that you are dead to sin, that you are free, that it no longer has dominion over you, that you are in Christ. Chapter 8, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Chapter 8, verse 14. Verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption or sonship, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. It's the new birth, the totality of the new birth spirit. The spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The word witness, proof, right? It's a witness. It's the proof that we are God's sons, that we have all that God says we have. What a great thing. So, we have two things here. First, we have the Word of God telling us who we are, right? And secondly, we have a proof. When we manifest Holy Spirit, when we manifest Holy Spirit in any way, it is proof to us that we are sons of God and we have all that God says we are. It says it's proof that we are born again. It's proof that we are sons of God. It's proof that we're going to live forever. It's proof that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Right? It's proof of all those things. Let's go back to chapter 6. So, if I am walking in that new creation mindset, in newness of life, then I can say I am all that God's Word says that I am in Christ Jesus. What a cool thing. Verse 11 again. Likewise, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, in the previous chapters and verses, it tells us all that Christ did for us. He died for us, right? He died for our sins. And it's as though we went through it ourselves, although we didn't have to, right? Jesus Christ was our whipping boy. You know what a whipping boy is? I looked it up in the dictionary just to make sure. It says a boy educated with a prince who would be punished instead of the prince. And then it had a little semicolon and it said a scapegoat. Scapegoat goes back to the Old Testament. Goes back to the Old Testament at the time when they would do atonement for sin, and they would set out a goat in the wilderness and he would die for the sins of the people, and they were atoned temporarily. And then it says that Jesus Christ was the scapegoat, or he was the Lamb of God. He paid the price for our sin. In the previous chapters, it tells us that Jesus Christ, what he accomplished, all he did for us, and all we have so we can walk in a new life. We walk in a new life. We have a new life. Walk. And it says, reckon yourselves, account yourselves. This is the how of walking in the new life, that you have to reckon yourself. Reckon yourself. You have to account. You have to consider yourself dead to sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Pretty cool, huh? We're going to continue on. We're going to go back to chapter 4. Because to really understand this accounting, we're to consider ourselves living for God in Christ Jesus. That's what we are to reckon ourselves. That's what we are to consider and to think of ourselves as dead to sin and living unto God. Chapter 4, verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham our father as pertaining to the flesh hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. Nobody can glory in the flesh. I don't care how beautiful you are. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how much ability you have. You can't glory in the flesh before God. You can do all the greatest accomplishments on the face of the earth. You could be the greatest surgeon, the greatest physicist. You could be the greatest nurse. You could be the greatest garbage man. You could be the most charitable person on the face of the earth. It's not going to get you anywhere with God if you don't believe in Jesus Christ. For what saith the Scripture? Wow. What saith the Scripture? You know, anytime we're faced with anything, that's what we should ask ourselves. What saith the Scripture? For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was what? Counted. Reckoned unto him for righteousness.
Somebody want to grab that?
It's the same word as reckoned in chapter 6. Abraham believed God, and he was considered righteous. It was accounted unto him righteous. See? Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justified the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. How do we become righteous? Yeah, we believe, don't we? We believe. We believe. We believe that God, that Jesus Christ is the Lord, that he was the Son of God, and that God raised him from the dead. We get born again. We are righteous. We're considered righteous. We are righteous. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. He was righteous before God. Pretty cool. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. You know what the word imputeth is? Reckon.
Right.
It's reckon. It's, you know, even in the Old Testament, God indicated these things that are so great in the New Testament under grace. You know, when man believed God, you know, he could do a lot of stupid things, but God would love him, and Abraham certainly wasn't perfect, but he believed God. And so God just threw blessings upon blessings upon blessings upon Abraham. And he considered him righteous. Even when he made mistakes, he considered him righteous. You know, because he believed. And he believed mostly considering the coming Messiah. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Well, there's no sin imputed in our life because God considers us what?
Righteous.
Righteous. And he considers us dead to sin. Right? Mm-hmm. Sin is dead in our lives. So it's not imputed to us. So we are what?
Righteous.
Well, and we're blessed, it says here. Yeah, we're blessed with all spiritual blessings. See how it all fits together? Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, meaning Israel, Jews of the Old Testament, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith or believing was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. Abraham was considered righteous long before the law, long before circumcision even. He didn't work for it. He believed. And the righteousness that is available to us and what is available to us is even greater than what was to Abraham because Jesus Christ came and paid the full price. So, you know what? We account things. We account things in our lives. You know, you get a bank statement, right? And it says you have $1 million in the bank account. And then you go and you check your checkbook and your savings account and all that stuff, and you reconcile it, and you say, well, I wrote a check for $100,000 here and another $50,000 here, but I still have $850,000 in the bank. So you account that, right? You consider it. You trust it. And then you walk out on the knowledge of that fact of what you have, right?
Yeah.
Cool. It's in the bank. That's how we are to act. That's how we are to account ourselves. Dead to sin, but alive unto God, living for God in Christ Jesus. We are to walk in newness of life. You understand how simple it is?
Yep.
Jesus, Dr. Wuerl, when he was teaching Victorious Living, he said, believing is not a fighting struggle. Believing should be as unconscious of having exercised believing as when a man writes a check knowing the money is in the bank. It's not a struggle. It's a knowing that you know that you know that you know. And the way you do that is you just keep putting it into your brain and believing it. And it just works itself into your heart. And you just keep telling yourself. You know, how do you know anything in life? You just keep putting it in your life, right? How do you know the multiplication tables? You just learn it, and you just keep putting it in there and keeping it in there. Can anybody talk you out of the multiplication tables? You know, 2 times 2 is 18. Anybody believe that? Why don't you believe it?
Because it's not true.
Because you know that you know that you know that you know that 2 times 2 is 4. Well, you're dead to sin. The old man is dead, and you are to live unto God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know that you know that you know that you know. We are to walk in newness of life. God has given us a new life. So we should live like it. We should live in that truth, that light. That should permeate everything that we do. We live a new life. Let's go to Philemon. Timothy, Titus, Philemon. Philemon is a book that was written by Paul by revelation to a man named Philemon. And Philemon had a servant, a slave named Onesimus. And Onesimus ran away, which was illegal. Not only was it illegal, but it was punishable by death in the Roman Empire. And when Onesimus had run away, he became born again. And so Paul determines to have Onesimus go back to Philemon, and he writes him this letter. And in verse 18 he says, "If he," referring to Onesimus, "hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account." You know what the word account is?
Reckon.
Mine account. Paul said, if he did anything wrong, if he owes you anything, I'll pay for it. I'll do it. Which means, you know, if you're going to put him to death, you can put me to death. Jesus Christ did that for us. He said, God, put it on my account. Jesus Christ put every debt, everything that we ever did or will do, on his account. He has an unlimited black American Express card. You ever hear of the black card? You have to be a special person and you can get anything in the world. I read about it. This guy has a black card, and his kid was, he was rich, and his kid was doing a project in school, so he needed some sand from the Sea of Galilee. So he called up, and somebody went and got some sand from the Sea of Galilee. They certified it. They put it in a bottle, and they overnight expressed it from Israel to somewhere in the United States so this kid could do his... Okay, Jesus Christ did a better job than that. He said, put everything on my account. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool? Let's go to Galatians chapter 3. See, Paul said to Philemon, I'll take over the debt. It's my responsibility. You, Onesimus is now your brother. I'll pay the debt. Jesus Christ said, these guys are believing in me. I paid the debt. I take it over. Chapter 3 of Galatians, verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted, reckoned to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith or believing, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, that's us, through believing, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith or believing are blessed with faithful Abraham. How blessed was Abraham? How blessed was Abraham? Go back in the Old Testament and read Abraham in Genesis. Just read his whole life. How blessed was he? Well, God enriched him dramatically, saved his life, promised him he would have a child when he was in his 90s, promised him that the Messiah would come from his bloodline, and that all nations of the earth would be blessed through his life, that kings and nations would come from him. How blessed was Abraham? And it says, we are blessed with Abraham because we believe. We are the sons of Abraham because we believe. He is the father of believing. Wow. Let's go back to Romans chapter 4. It's So we were reading in Romans and in chapter 4, and we left off somewhere, verse something or other. I can't remember where.
Eight.
We're going to skip all the other stuff because we read Galatians. It's just a short version. And we're going to go down to verse 16. It's there. Therefore, it is of faith, or believing that it might be of grace. To the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, Israel, but also to that which is of the faith or believing of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which not be not as though they were. Who against hope, speaking of Abraham, believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. You know, it says that Abraham believed and he called those things which were not yet as though they were. You know we have promises from God, and those promises are to us, and we just get convinced that they're true, even if they haven't come to pass yet. Even if they haven't come to pass, they're true. Alex is healed. Okay? It didn't come to pass yet, but it's a promise. It's as good as done. We just have to believe. He has to believe. You know? Whatever need, whatever problem you have in your life, God says he'll take care of it. It's already a done deal. You have to act as though it's as good as done, even if it hasn't come to pass yet. Because it's his promise. It's true. And the only reason it won't come to pass is you don't get convinced in your heart and walk in newness of life. You see? Walking in newness of life is believing in your heart, absolutely, you're absolutely, positively sure that you know that you know that you know that the promises of God will come to pass. Absolutely come to pass. Whether they're here or not yet, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Until you draw your last breath, you keep believing that promise. Okay, let's jump down to verse 20. He, Abraham, staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in believing, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed, reckoned, accounted, considered to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him or accounted to him, but for who?
Us.
Because God wants us to understand what it means to be reckoned, to account, to consider. See? We are to reckon ourselves dead to sin, but alive unto God through Christ Jesus our Lord. That's walking in newness of life. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification, for our righteousness. Jesus Christ died for our sin to pay the debt. He took on the account. He took it over on our account. He reckoned us dead to sin. So we need to reckon ourselves dead to sin. And he was raised for our justification. So when we believe in his resurrection, we are righteous. We are righteous. You know, we will never fully, completely, totally understand how righteous we are until the gathering together. But you are right in God's eyes. You are perfect in God's eyes. You are totally pure and clean in God's eyes. You have no reason to have any sin or shame or guilt before God because you are righteous because of the resurrection. Because Jesus Christ took it on his account. So you can account yourself all those things righteous before God. Therefore, chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, being justified by believing, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There is no enmity. There is nothing between you and God. nothing between us. You know, sometimes you say, you know, there's something between us, meaning, you know, we have a relationship, but it's not a good relationship because there's something between us. There's nothing between us and God. We are at peace with God. Peace. By whom? By Christ. Also, we have access by believing unto this grace wherein we stand. It says in Hebrews that we can come before his throne of grace. That's the access that we have to ask anything that we have need of. We have access to God, to his throne of grace, and we can stand in his presence righteous in his eyes. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. In the hope of the glory of God. And let's go to chapter 8. Why do we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God? This is why. Verse 18. For I reckon. Same word. I reckon. I'm convinced. I have accounted that the sufferings of this present time, you know, all the things that we have to deal with in life, that's what sufferings mean. It doesn't necessarily mean that somebody beat you or that you, you know, got some disease or anything. But it could, but doesn't necessarily. It just means anything in life that we have to endure. For I reckon, I account that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. You know, that's just incredible. Nothing in the earth, present, past, or future can compare to the glory of what will be revealed in us at the return of Christ. So we are to reckon ourselves. We are to account that and walk in light of that. And then we walk in newness of life. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. Amen. God, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for loving us, and that we can truly put into our hearts and minds that we can account, that we can reckon ourselves, that we can see how Jesus Christ put it on his